Well, I kind of have a, it might be a controversial subject to talk about. I thought it might be thought-provoking for us today, but it's in, if everyone has their Bibles, we can go to Matthew 24, and it's commonly talked about, this chapter, which I understand in some ways I could be wrong about what I think about Matthew 24. So I'm just going to explain why I think the way I do about this chapter. And one point I think is good to note, like there's a lot of talk about this great tribulation that we're going to have before the end. And I think Matthew 24 teaches that the great tribulation has already passed. And that tribulation was for the apostles. I'm going to read a parable here. I think it kind of ties in with the destruction of Jerusalem. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come." I think those that were bidden to the wedding, this is in chapter 22, I think those are the Jews. Like, they were bidden to this wedding. And verse 4, again, he sent forth other servants, which I think would be like the prophets, saying, "Tell them which were bidden, behold, I've prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come to the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth and sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city," which would be what I believe. What I think Jesus is referring to in this parable is the destruction of Jerusalem. The armies came, Titus and his army, and destroyed the Jews, and the city was burned. And this next part, I think, would be about the Gentiles or the ministry to the Gentiles. "Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage." And then it talks about them going to the highways, and the wedding was furnished. So Matthew 24, Jesus told them, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, Do you see all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And this next part, the disciples ask him three questions. "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world?" And I think Jesus answered them in that chronological order. "Tell us, when will these things be? Like, when will these stones be thrown down? And what the sign of your coming and the end of the world?" So I guess we can just start reading. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso reads, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. This is another point where I think he's still talking about the destruction of the temple, because why else would the Sabbath day be important to us? This next part, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, neither will be, neither ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man come to you, then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they say to you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as lightning comes out of the east and shines even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise you, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. And this next verse is why I believe it's already passed. Verily I say to you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. And I think when he was talking to the disciples, they would have understood that that's their generation. And then when he says, till all these things be fulfilled, I believe he's referring from verse 4 to verse 34, all the things he just got done saying. And I think if we just look at the context, that's what it's showing us. And then I think he makes a transition here. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Then I think the transition is somewhere right in here. But of that day and hour knows no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And this is when I think he starts to talk about the end of the world. Because he said no one knows but his Father only. And then if you look back up before verse 34, he told him, so likewise you, when you shall see all these things, know that it's near. It's right at the doors. It's near. And then he starts talking about in verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came. So in some way, this, the great tribulation, Jesus told him, when you see all these things, just know that it's near. But then he's referring to his coming, with the flood, no one knew when the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And I think if Jesus, he's coming like a thief in the night, I don't think there's going to be all these signs. I just think the days of Noah, the warning went out, this ark is being built that's able to save men, and one day the flood's just going to come unexpectedly. Well, that's all I had to share. I know it's a controversial topic, but one thing that's in that context is the Great Tribulation. There wasn't going to be one like it, and there never will be. And he said, "Verily I say to you, this generation shall not pass till all of these things are fulfilled." Anyways, feel free to comment or thoughts or corrections. God bless you all.
Thank you, Brother Darren. You like myself, would never have to apologize for doing that. I think you're 100% correct. But the main thing, of course, is to be ready when he comes. But it's not... I'll look at it from a different angle. And some of you have heard it before from me. But Luke 21 is a parallel chapter to Matthew 24. And so I'm going to talk about Luke. Luke, the book of Luke, and Acts. You know, Luke, Acts. They like said it. And Acts starts out, "O most excellent Theophilus, the former treatise that I have written to you," all those accolades or protocol like this. So that's how he starts out Acts. And so Luke was written before Acts. Basic. Okay. Luke is written before Acts. The former treatise I've written to you. Luke is written before Acts. Acts is the second. So where does Acts end in chapter 28? Where is Paul? Where is Paul? Acts 28, the last verse. What's Paul doing in the last, in chapter 28? Do you remember? He's in a certain place for 2 years. He's in Rome, and he had a house, and he's renting, and he saw anyone come in for morning and night. He would preach. He stayed 2 years in his renter's house, and that's the end of Acts 28. In 2 years. And when did he get beheaded? He got beheaded in 67 A.D. Right, Nero was the emperor, and it's 3 years before Jerusalem fell. So that's simple chronology. So Matthew and Luke were written before the destruction of Jerusalem. There's no controversy. Early Christians, as a witness, always said that. Matthew is the first book. It's written like that. But Luke was also written before the destruction of Jerusalem. What does that have to do with Brother Darren's thing? With everything, it was written before Jerusalem was destroyed. It wasn't written after, as modern cemetery people would say, 80 A.D. and all this. Make it foolishness. If it was written after the destruction of Jerusalem, sure, Matthew would have said, "And Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 A.D. and all that. But anyway, if you can fit that in the puzzle, it's really obvious for that. If Brett was here, he would agree with me, I think. There is no great tribulation, the great tribulation. The word the definite, or is that definite or indefinite? That's a definite article, right? The is inserted. It says great tribulation. Great tribulation. Great suffering. Nothing about the great suffering, as if this is the epitome and nothing like that. No, it says great tribulation. Great suffering. It doesn't say the great. I'm making a big thing out of that, but Brett would agree, or anyone would agree, that the word, the definite article, the, is put in there. Now, I hope you can pull the strings together to see that. That, I mean, you know, for great tribulation and things. In course, in Matthew 25, the whole thing is on theology and no, it's about, I was hungry, I was naked, we're going to be judged on that. The way we treat each other. Lifestyle rather than doctrine. And this isn't really doctrine, this is just historical things, what Brother Darren talked about in my less than humble opinion. But the thing is to be ready and to live out not just the Sermon on the Mount, but all his teachings the best we can in the little time we have, and don't be worried about. People like to explain away Matthew 24. Schofield started it, one of the ones who started it. It's for future age, or even Luther like that. It's not for today and all that. No, it is for today. I mean, the words, did Jesus really mean what he said? And all the early Christians and the Anabaptists would agree with that. That yeah, he meant what he said. We're going to be judged in Matthew 25, not on theology. Theology is a cop-out. It's our lifestyle. As you know that, rather than me, you brethren. But I'm just saying that. Thank you, Darren, for that. It's really ABCs, but yet the religious world has been hoodwinked to think that there's all these great things. Yeah, Brother Robert, is he here, Robert Bergeron? He sent me that video. They're building a temple in Jerusalem. You know, and I don't know if you believe that. I don't think so. Robert does, but, you know, watch out. They're going to have animal sacrifices. Get ready, Walter. It's coming. No. Let's just be ready when he comes again. But there's always people that are going to prophesy. How many times in just say from 2000, the year 2000 to now, we have predictions about the end is coming? We had Y2K, we had Harold Camping, we had all these things, right? And now they're doing another one, right? It's always just live simple, live godly, and redeem the time. And don't worry about destruction in Jerusalem. It's already happened. But just worry about the destruction of this world, which hasn't happened yet. The Lord be magnified.
Just a few thoughts I have. I appreciate bringing that out, brother. And I being that it's a matter of chronology, I think I couldn't, though it really makes sense the way you understand it, I think I understand it like that too, but it's definitely not one of those things that I feel like if I would have the wrong understanding of it, that I would somehow lose my salvation. You know, it's not one of those things, but it's a very interesting subject. I see like the heart of God in it, or the mind of God, and how he works with people. Similarly, like he did with the flood in that day, warning was given, and it's like suddenly he ambushed them with a flood. You know, they had not prepared themselves. Similarly, I think the destruction of Jerusalem, it's been a long time since I read that, how Titus and his army ambushed them and then got in on them and just squashed the city. But I see it very similar. Exactly when it happened and exactly when Luke wrote what he wrote, you know, how could we just say for sure? But yeah, we can figure some of those things out. But it's a fearful thing to know that there's yet another day like that coming. You know, it's called the final judgment. And my thoughts were just right where Robert were about the final judgment not being based on having the chronology understood correctly. Like the Jews, I don't think they would have had to understand at what point Noah was doing what in order to be saved at that day. People wouldn't have had to understand. You know, if you put yourselves in the day of Jesus, and here people were talking about the chronology of the flood, maybe, and I think the important point would have been just to be ready for the day that they were in, the day that destruction of Jerusalem was being predicted. That was what was important for them, not that they understood the chronology of the flood and all the happenings. We know it. Noah built an ark in 120 years. We know some things, but the important thing is to watch and be ready. You know, because there won't be much time, hardly any time, like after that final, you know, day and the Lord comes back. So that's what I want to take from it. But for sure, I'm not one to squash someone's interest in talking about the chronology of it, because it's in the Gospels. I was following along in Mark 13. Just about has the exact same words in it. I don't know that. I don't think I noticed Noah, but everything else just said it just pretty much like Matthew did. And so I was blessed by it. Praise God.
Yeah, I too appreciate the reading of that chapter, and I know it has been for many other people and might be among us, like, as you said, controversial, what some of those things mean. And I think they can be debated lovingly, I guess. I have at times in my life been pretty sure I understand, like, you know, the kind of the meaning of some prophetic writing like that. You know, and then have someone with a completely different view of it just point some things out that made me realize, like, oh, that's reasonable. That's reasonable thinking too. Or I still think some of these things. I mostly have come to very similar conclusions as you have about the transition verse there, and the fact that that chapter starts in with the apostles asking at least two separate questions. One being these things about the stones in the temple, and then of the coming age. When you look at Luke chapter 21, it seems like in Luke it's more like one question, where they say, "Teacher, when therefore will these things happen?" After he talked about the stones not being on each other, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign when these things are about to take place? And then in that one, like, Jesus says some more things that are even seem more like they are pertaining to the destruction of Jerusalem, like verse 18 says, "Yet not a hair of your head will perish." They say no, that the Christians had all left Jerusalem before it fell. They had heeded the signs that were in the sky and the signs that were given, and had all left. That is what I've heard. "By your endurance you will gain your lives," it says in verse 19. Verse 20 says, "But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then recognize that her desolation is near. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains, and those who are in the midst of the city must leave, and those who are in the country must not enter the city, because these are days of vengeance, so that all things which are written will be fulfilled." And this destruction of Jerusalem was prophesied, I'm pretty sure, when Jesus was riding into Jerusalem on the donkey, and they were hailing him, shouting Hosanna, and he just stopped and wept over Jerusalem and said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." And whatever, I can't remember exactly the words he said, like, he was prophesying its destruction. And then he goes on here in verse 23 to say, "Woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days." You know, that doesn't fit very well to the coming of the Lord. I don't think there will be any any woe if he comes in the winter. I don't think anybody is at a disadvantage if someone's pregnant or nursing babies, or on the final return of the Lord. However, having said all that, like, I would not throw away the idea that these prophetic writings are multi-layered, and that they have a way of, like, reappearing. I think so many of the prophetic writings meant something very particular for a very particular time, and maybe sometimes more vaguely at other times, but that they will also perhaps climax in a major way at the end. Those are some of the thoughts I've had about some of these writings.
I was always thinking about that, the statement about the women having to, you know, like, woe unto the women that are pregnant in those days. And I guess I kind of got it in my head about the idea of people having to flee, like fleeing their homes, and that would be a reason or a cause for you know, it to be kind of a trial. And I think about the way that things can get rehashed in history. And I guess I was kind of reminded of that the other day I was watching a video. Somebody was breaking down a recognition of a video. It was like, I don't know if this was a real thing or if this is what they were hoping for, or if it was like an acknowledgement of how great they thought about Donald Trump. But there was a video that was posted. I think it was on his X account, and it was about how unified, I guess, Israel felt about Donald Trump, or how great he was. And they had a depiction of him as a golden statue. And the guy that was posting the video was like, yeah, it's like reminds me a lot of Nebuchadnezzar. And I was thinking to myself, like, it's like, are we really going to see these things take place again? I don't know. It really, really begs the question. But thanks for the message.
Yeah, I think for the record, I have a lot of questions. But maybe I'll just ask this question to you, Darren, and we could talk about it afterwards. We wouldn't have to talk about it now. But one thing I do agree with in relation to what you shared is the destruction of Jerusalem. I think that's kind of hard to debate that took place. But the question that I have with this doctrine is how the Great Tribulation has come to pass, and how come, I could say, like, it seems like when people talk about this doctrine, they talk about the destruction of Jerusalem in the chronological order, but I haven't heard a whole lot about the destruction or the Great Tribulation part. And that's kind of like that would be really strong evidence for this doctrine for me. Like, that would be the thing that would really convince me. So that would be my question for you, is like verses 27 to 31. Maybe I could just read it. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will also the eagles shall be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, so if that was the great tribulation that it was speaking of, then this too should have happened immediately after. And that's kind of what I want to hear what brothers have to say about that. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So if I understand correctly, that's already taking place, and I'd like to hear what brothers say about that. But it wouldn't have to be now. Maybe afterwards it'd be something to talk about. I do agree. I want to say I agree with the destruction of the temple or destruction of Jerusalem at that time. It's these other things that I'm not so convinced about. And maybe that's what brothers are talking about, this dual prophecy, you know, that you know, that part hasn't taken place. I don't know. I'd just like to hear what brothers thought about that. That would help me to understand a little bit. You can answer now if you want to. Okay.
Yeah. One thought that I had about that, Brother Tao, and I understand, like, I could be off. But when Jesus talks about in verse 27, for as lightning comes out of the east and shines even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I think that's a different coming than the coming where he comes to judge the earth. And the reason I think that is because he told them there'll be some standing here that will not taste of death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And we believe he was talking about John. And in another place, he said, you would not have gone over all the cities of Israel until the Son of Man be come. And then Peter asked, towards the end before Jesus was raised to heaven, he said, Lord, like what will this one do? And he said, if I will that he tarry till I come, you know, what is that to you? And I think like there'd be some standing here that would not taste of death until the Son of Man is like come. I thought like either John is still alive right now, or in a symbolic way, Jesus came at the destruction, like it was his coming. And either they're still going over the cities of Israel, or in a symbolic way, Jesus came. Like that's only like my only thoughts about that. Like that's what my mind went to when I would like ponder these thoughts. Then it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon won't give her light. And I would think that's like could be symbolic. Like in Acts, Peter said in his epistle, he said, just know that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Like I don't think we can necessarily, and I know this applies to me too, but I don't think we can look at prophecy of Scripture and just get our own like thing out of it, but like rather let God interpret it for us. Like one example I think is in Acts when they spoke in tongues, and they were like, whoa, like these men are drunk, you know. But Peter said, these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing is it is but the third hour of the day. And then he says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And so Peter's making reference like what Joel prophesied about long ago, like them speaking in tongues, what's happening here, like this is that fulfillment. And then he goes on to say, it shall come to pass in the last days, I will pour out my spirit, your young man will see visions, signs in heaven, and one part of that is the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. And it could be in a symbolic way like those things happened.
Yeah, the verse about, well, the gospel must be preached to the whole world and then the end comes. Yeah, so Finney Kuravilla thinks it hasn't come, and that's why he's so evangelistic, that he wants to go out and he's going to bring Christ down. But no, the gospel was preached to the whole world, the Roman Empire, before 70 AD. Colossians chapter 1 and Romans 10, the gospel has been preached to every creature. Sorry, Finney, you're dead wrong on that, but I got to be humble like that. As far as I go back to Luke again, Brother Dwayne quoted, you know, almost excellency, given how others have written an account of the gospel. So Matthew and Mark were written before Luke, okay? That was even before, for the time set. And last comment would be what Teo and Brother Dwayne said, Brother Teo and Dwayne. Yeah, the dual thing. No, there's not any dual things about certain things. Christ was only crucified once. It's not going to happen again. There are certain things that once it's over, it's never going to happen again. And so, yeah, there's prophetic things that could happen again, but no, there's certain things. Jerusalem was destroyed. And so we're going to be destroyed again a third time, fourth time, let's go for five. No, there's certain things that happen once and once for all and not a mass, no more. Okay, but I got to be humble like Darren and others, and you know, but the Lord be magnified.
Friends of peace, control.
Jesus calls you.
Son.